Again, I'm not going to read all of this, but maybe just to bring us up to where Numbers chapter 17 begins. There's been a great plague. Korah, Abiram, that group of people that rose up against Moses and Aaron, the earth opened up and swallowed them down, and they went down alive into the pit. The very next day, the congregation rose up against Moses and Aaron again, and God sent a plague that day. And Moses told Aaron to put incense on and run out into the, go into the congregation and offer up incense, an atonement. And Aaron did that very thing, and the plague was stayed. Death was, the Bible said that he stood between the living and the dead, and the plague was stayed, was restrained. Death was restrained by the workings of Aaron, the high priest. He returned in the last verse of this chapter. And I believe you could see this. Maybe we could see it as Aaron offered up incense unto God. You know, that was for the congregation of the people that were dying. I believe you could say that Aaron was between the living and the dead. Aaron was offering up an incense that was between heaven and the earth. And he was between God and man. Just like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Aaron returns, I believe you could say this, that he returned in victory. He returned in victory, the last verse of chapter 16. Aaron returned unto Moses, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. You know, as you think about this, we can read in the book of John, chapter number 20, and read these, or listen to these words, John chapter 20 and verse number 17. John chapter 20 and verse number 17, Jesus said unto Mary, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father. But go unto my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God." Where did Aaron go back to? He went back to the tabernacle of the congregation, but don't forget the presence of the Lord was there. He went back to the presence of God. He tells us in Matthew chapter number 21 and verse number 42, Matthew 21, 42, listen to these words. Matthew 21, verse 42, the Bible says to us here, Jesus said unto them, "Did you never read the scripture, 'The stone which the builders has rejected is become the head of the corner'? This is the Lord's doing, and is marvelous in our eyes. The kingdom shall be taken from you and given unto a nation bringing forth fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." So Aaron is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you look, you might say, well, that was before he ever died. Well, I tell you, the Lord had a job to do, and when his job was finished, he returned back to the Lord. He returned back to God. He tells us in the Revelation and also in the book of Zechariah that they're all going to look on me. They that pierce me shall look upon me. Listen to Revelation chapter 1, and then we'll try to look into chapter 17. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 7. "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." Chapter 1, verse 17. "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, and saying, 'Fear not, for I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Aaron was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ as our high priest. And I believe this, I believe you could see it. He was despised and rejected. Wasn't that true? That's the same way it was for Aaron. But as we start in chapter number 17, the book of Numbers chapter 17, here God says to Moses, Moses, speak to the children of Israel for every one of them to take a rod. So every one of them is going to take a rod. This is sort of like it was in Egypt. You remember how the Egyptians had a rod? How Moses went down there? And I tell you what, if you read in the first part of the plagues and the things that were going on, that was Aaron's rod. It wasn't Moses' rod. Moses may have been holding it at times, but that was Aaron's rod. Aaron's rod was doing all of this great work. Aaron's rod was the one that was interceding for the people in the plague. Aaron's rod. It wasn't Moses. It wasn't the law. I tell you, it was a type of the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he tells Moses, they're still rebelling. I'm gonna show this group of people, Moses, whom I've chosen. Take every man, every one that is the head of the tribes, let every man take a rod. So he took a rod. And he took a rod, and I just say it like this. He took a dead stick. That's what he took. He took a dead stick. Take their rods, Moses. Verse number 3. Every man's going to write his name on his rod of the 12 tribes of Israel. Aaron is of the tribe of Levi. But you notice that they don't write Levi on Aaron's rod. They write Aaron on Aaron's rod. This is a special man right here. This is God's anointed. This is God's choice. They didn't write Levi on his rod. They wrote Aaron's name on Aaron's rod. For one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And thou, listen now, thou shalt lay them in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony where I will meet with you. Where are they going to take these rods? All of these rods, Moses is going to take these rods and he's going to take them behind the veil. Now Moses has never been behind the veil. But God said, I want you to take these rods and I want you to put them in the tabernacle of the congregation in the place of testimony. Now what does that mean? Well, it means this. It means where God testifies. Where does God meet? He said, I'll meet with you between the cherubims above the mercy seat. That's where God said, I'll meet with you. Moses take these 12 rods behind the veil and lays them there at the mercy seat or up in the holiest of holies. Whether he laid them on the mercy seat, I don't know whether to say that's true or not. But I know that he laid them back there where the Ark of the Testimony was. And thou shalt lay them in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony where I will meet with you. Now, you know, there's no other way. There's no way for me, for the children of Israel, for anybody, there's no way that we can make any offerings. There's no blood offered, no sin offering, no blood offering, no prayers, unless it goes through the high priest. And you can look at that in the Old Testament or the New Testament.
our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way to make an offering for sin. There's no way to get prayer through. There's no way to be accepted with God. There's no way for God to meet with us except through our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is saying to Moses, these people are rebelling and rebelling and rebelling and refusing the authority that I've given unto you and unto Aaron. I want you to take every man a rod, and I want you to put it behind the veil, and where I'll meet with you. Verse number 4. And thou shalt lay them in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony, where I will meet with thee. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod, whom I shall choose, shall bloom. You know what God's going to do? He's going to make a distinction. God's going to make a distinction. He's not only going to make a distinction between the other tribes, he's going to make a distinction between Levi and Aaron. All of these other people that are the tribes of Levi, you know, there's 250 of them had censers. They were Levites. Remember what Moses said? God's given you the Levitical part. He's given you a job to do in the tabernacle and in the service of God, and you want the priesthood as well? I tell you something, friend. All of Judaism, that may well be good. And all of the different 12 tribes of Israel, that may be good. But God has made a distinction between His high priest and every other thing that's ever happened. I mean, we're talking for years and years and years, they've been offering lambs and goats and turtle doves and oxen and bullocks and everything you can think of. I tell you, when the Lamb of God, when the Lord Jesus Christ, when a God's anointed made an offering, that was the end. There is no more. He made a distinction between the offering of the high priest and the offering of everything else. God said, the man that I choose, his rod is going to bloom. God's going to make a distinction here. And again, God, whom I shall choose. You know what the Lord said? God's already told them what's going to happen. God has already said, I'm going to cause this to happen. The man that I choose, his rod is going to bloom. I tell you, the rod, let's just think about the rod for a minute. We're talking about dead sticks. Aaron's stick is a dead stick too. That's the truth. Every one of them's rod was a dead stick. But listen to what Isaiah chapter 11 says to us. Isaiah chapter number 11. The Bible says this. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. A rod. Now listen to what this means. There shall come a rod. That means a branch, a shoot, a twig, out of the stem. Now what he's talking about there is he's talking about a stump or something that is cut down or something that is decayed. You know, when the Lord Jesus come on the scene, when the Lamb of God come on the scene, you know, the house of David was about a thing of the past. And he said over in Isaiah chapter 53, he said, as a root out of dry ground. Isn't that what he's doing? Well, I tell you, friend, God's given us a type and a shadow of that in Numbers chapter number 17. God has shown us that this dead stick, that Aaron's God, he said, I'm going to show you something of what I'm choosing. I'm going to show you the man that I choose. I'm going to show you that this is mine anointed. I'm going to show you that this is the one, and I've given him the authority to do that all he's doing. All that he's doing. And you know, several times, if you read through your Bible in the book of Zechariah, in the book of Isaiah, in the book of Jeremiah, you'll read about the branch. The branch. The branch. Who is this branch? The branch is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Isn't that something? And he said over in the Revelation, he said, I am the root and the offspring of David. But you know, he didn't go with David. He went with before David. He was before David. He was before Jesse. He was before Abraham. He was before the foundation of the world. And you know something? God is telling Moses, the man that I choose, his rod is going to bloom. You know, we're living in a world that hates this. We're living in a world that has no use for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you, God's put His approval on Him. And God, as God put His approval on Aaron, and Aaron did what he did, even Elijah said this in his prayer. He said, Lord, let them know that these things that I've done it at Your word. What Aaron has been doing is at the word of God. What the Lord Jesus Christ is going to do in His 33 years upon the face of the earth is at the word of God. And God is going to approve it, and God is going to commend it, and God is going to put His witness on, a friend, the work of our high priest. So listen. And he said, and it shall come to pass that the man's rod, whom I shall choose, shall bloom. You know that Aaron is the only one that can go into the holiest of holies. Aaron is the only one anointed. He's the only one appointed. There is nobody else that can go into the holiest of holies. Now think about this, that every tribe is represented there. All 12 tribes of Jacob or of Israel are represented. And where are they? They're in the presence of God. They're behind the veil. They're back there in the presence of God. But do you know this? Do you know that out of all of those rods, there wasn't a one of them that came to life except for the rod of Aaron? A friend, that every one of those that were dead are going to stay dead. A friend, do you know that mankind, without the Lord Jesus Christ, though he be a dead stick outside of coming in contact with the Lord, with Almighty God in the presence of God, and you know how we'll have to come? We'll have to come through our heavenly Aaron. We'll have to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll have to come through our high priest. If we find life, if we get life, I tell you this, it'll be because God did that work through the rod of Aaron. There's no way for life to come. You can't come into the presence of God without a high priest. They couldn't then, and you and I can't today. He is our high priest. He's the reason that you and I are invited to come boldly into the throne of grace. Isn't that right? Through our high priest, through the Lord Jesus, through the sacrifice that was given. Friend, look what God is doing. God said, I'm going to shut the murmurers up. You know what there was in Jerusalem in 33 AD? How there were murmurers, how there were complainers, there were doubters. Friend, there were blasphemers. And they said, who is this man? If he were of God, if he be the Son of God, let him come down. He saved others, but he can't save himself. I tell you, thank God he didn't save himself, that you and I could be saved. He was God's anointed. He was there on God's business. And friend, you may look at him and you say he's a dead stick. I tell you, God's going to make him blue. So he's a dead stick. So in Isaiah 11, it's a dead stump. He's cut off out of the stem of Jesse. Out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out. You know what he said in the book of Luke? I'm sorry, not the book of Luke, the book of Job. If a tree cut down, shall it grow again? It's going to bring forth shoots, isn't it? A cedar of Lebanon, when it's cut down, will never ever bring forth a shoot. But this is an almond tree.
Aaron's rod was made out of an almond tree.
They called it the awakening tree. It was the first tree to bloom in the spring. And it bloomed before it had leaves on it. Before it had leaves, before it had fruit, it had blooms on it. And it was the awakening tree. I mean, you talk about a resurrection and springtime. Aren't we seeing that right now? We're seeing the awakening tree, aren't we? But just listen, in Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 2, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground, and he had no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Verse number 8. Now what's Aaron got? He's got a dead stick. Verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off. What is he? I tell you, he's cut off. He's cut off out of the land of the living. He's cut off. I mean, it looks like this man is a failure. It looks like that Aaron is a failure. It looks like that there's nothing that Aaron can do. Even though here is a man that ran out in the middle of a plague. Here is a man that run out with no fear. Here is a man that sin didn't light on him. Here is a man that death couldn't touch him. Here is a man that returned to the presence of God, and yet they rebel against him. The Lord Jesus was cut off in the midst of his days. 33 years old, he's in the prime of life, isn't he? But yet he was cut off. Cut off for who? Cut off for me. Cut off for you. He was made a sin offering for me and for you. A sin offering made unto God. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He's our heavenly Aaron. He's our high priest. Verse number 9, Isaiah 53, verse 9. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because there was no violence, neither any deceit in his mouth. You see where he is? He's right where Aaron's rod is. He's right in the middle of the rest of them, isn't he? You know where Jesus was? Jesus hung between two thieves. He was there, and you know what was going to happen this Friday afternoon? Every one of them was going to be dead men. The Lord Jesus Christ, the thief on the right and the thief on the left, every one of them, I tell you what he did. Aaron's rod was laid right down in the midst of all the rest that was dead. Our friend, Aaron's rod was laid right down. Our friend, with all of those sinners, with all of those rebellers, with all of those that were ungodly, how that rod was cut out and it looked dead, and it was dead. But praise God, the Lord Almighty God said, I'm going to make it to bloom. The Lord's going to put his approval on this. So Christ, Isaiah 53, was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people. Who's my people? You might say Isaiah. I'm going to say God. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Where did he go? He went to the graveyard just like the other two did. Didn't he? Didn't they put him in the tomb? Didn't they run a spear in his side, and forthwith there came out water and blood? Wasn't there a separation there? I tell you, he was dead. He was dead. A friend, he was there and he was dead. And it came to pass that the man's rod whom I shall choose shall blossom. And I will make to cease from me the murmuring of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. So God announced it before it ever happened, didn't he? Didn't he? I tell you, God makes his announcements. You know what he said? He said he declared the end from the beginning. Thank God he knows. Not only does he know what the end is going to be, he proclaimed it. He laid it out. It's in order. Now, there's nothing out of bounds. There's nothing running astray. Nothing running amiss or running awry. Everything that is going on is by the will and the counsel and the determination of God. He announced it beforehand. And he is announced to Moses, Moses, the man that I choose, his rod's going to bloom by this word of God. According to their fathers, Moses spake to the children, and every one of their princes gave him a rod, a piece for each prince, one, according to their father's house, even 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. You see, the Lord was right there. He was right there in the midst. And where are they laying the rods? They're laying the rods. They're laying the rods in the congregation of the testimony of the tabernacle before the testimony. They're laying them in the presence of God. You know what Paul said to be? He said to be absent from the body was to be present with the Lord. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Today shall thou be with me in paradise." Isn't that what he said? Was that true? Is that really true? What about the other man? The other man said, "If thou be, if you be the Son of God, get down and get us down too." Where did that man go that day? Where did that man lift his eyes that day? He laid right down in the middle of them. He's right in the middle of them. So what are they doing? They're putting their names on there. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord. You see that? The rods are laid up before the Lord. Before the Lord. And he lays the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. The tabernacle of testimony. What did God have there? I tell you, in that behind the veil, God had His Word. God had an ark back there. And you know what's in that ark? I tell you, friend, in that ark is the Word of God. The uncompromising, unbendable Word of God. That's right. They all got their name on their stick. Look with me in the book of Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew, chapter 27. Verse 37. And set over his head, and sitting down, they watched him there. And set over his head his accusation written, "This is..." Where's this written? It's on his stick. It's on the cross. You see it? Can you see it? You see the dead stick? On the dead stick is the name Jesus. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Why, preacher, that ain't nothing. That's just a dead stick. Well, turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And let's see what happens to the dead stick. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 17. "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." You mean the cross of Christ has an effect? You mean that if I don't preach the cross, friend, I'm going to leave something out? Oh, it says that the cross be made of none effect. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness," just a dead stick, "but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." You know what happened? I'll tell you, friend, that cross, how that looked like a dead stick and had the Lord Jesus Christ's name on it. Friend, I'll tell you what it became in about 50 days. Friend, it became, friend, the center of the preaching of the gospel. They began to preach about a man, friend, who looked like a dead man on a dead stick, and God raised up the stick and He raises up the cross, and He raised up the man that was hanging on it. Thank God He's our high priest. How blessed that we are that He would think on us. Listen to what the Bible said. "And it came to pass that on the morrow," you mean overnight? I mean overnight. I mean overnight it went from a dead stick
It went from a dead stick to a stick that had blooms on it. To a stick that had blossoms on it. To a stick that had buds on it. To a stick that had almonds on it. Overnight, I tell you, friend, when the Holy Ghost came down, friend, after the resurrection and the Lord Jesus Christ ascended back, He sent down the Holy Spirit. And friend, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls added to the church. And friend, let me tell you, that every phase of that work was going on, buds, blooms, and fruit all on the same stick.
He approved it. God put His approval on this stick. And it came to pass on the morrow, Moses went into the tabernacle of witness. And behold, he's saying, look, and behold, the dead stick, the rod of Aaron, for the house of Levi was budded and brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms and yielded almonds. I tell you, this is the awakening stick, ain't it? This is the awakening tree right here. Our friend, this is. And you know something? In Christianity today, there's buds, there's blooms, and there's fruit by this stick. Our friend, by this high priest of ours, that God put His name on him, and God told him to write your name down, and friend, that rod out of the stem of Jesse, the branch, our friend, that's going to bring forth fruit unto God, God said, this is whom I choose, this is who I put my approval on, this is the one that was dead, this is the one who said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Praise God, He raised up a dead stick. Aaron's our high priest, but Jesus is really our high priest. Was He dead? He was dead. He was a dead stick, and the cross was His stick, and the high priest was hanging on the dead stick, and God said, I'm going to put my name on there, and I'm not only going to put my name on there, I tell you, Herod put the name on there. God put the life in it. God Almighty made this bloom. He made it bud. He brought forth almonds. That stick, that dead stick, by the power of God, brought forth buds and blooms and blossoms and almonds. Now, who can do that? Who can do that? Who could do that with an almond tree? Do you know that it is so long from being the first one that blooms in the spring to almonds late, late in the year? He did it overnight. The power of God. And now listen, this is not just to show off. This is to shut the mouths of the murmurers. This is to shut the mouths of those that said, why, there was a great prophet. Have you not heard? What? Tell me what? This Jesus that we took for a prophet, and we thought that He was going to deliver us from Rome. We thought He was going to do all this work. How they crucified Him. And today they're saying that He's raised again from the dead. And you know what He did? I tell you, on the way, our friend of breaking bread that evening, He opened up the scripture unto them out of the law and out of the prophets, and He told them about Himself. He's the dead stick. He's the high priest. Just a little more. And Moses went into the tabernacle. And he brought forth. And behold, the rod of Aaron, for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms and yielded almonds. And Moses brought out all the rods from the Lord unto the children of Israel, and they looked and took every man his rod. You know what the Lord did? He said over in, I believe it's Corinthians, that he showed his Son of God raised from the dead to over 500 at one time. 40 days he walked on the face of the earth. 40 days he ate with them. He ate honeycomb. He ate fish. He walked. He came through with no door being open. I tell you, God put his approval on the Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest. God said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." But oh, I tell you, how that's good and that's wonderful down at the River of Jordan. How that's good and that's wonderful on the Mount of Transfiguration. But I tell you, on the day of Pentecost, our friend, you know what he's done? Our friend, he's raised from the dead. He spent 40 days on the earth. He's ascended back to heaven. And friend, he has sent back the Holy Spirit, one just like him, be with us always. Listen to what the Bible says. Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands. Where did he go? When he told Mary not to touch him, where did he go that day? He ascended unto heaven. He went behind the veil, if you'll have it, spiritually. Why, preacher, the veil was already rent. That's exactly right. But you know where he went? He went between the veil that is dividing man from Almighty God to the third heaven. He went through that veil. He went through that veil and made an offering of himself unto God that day. He's not entered in, 9:24 in Hebrews, not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now bear this in mind. That was written 64 A.D. Listen to it one more time. Christ is not entered in to the holy place made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself now, to appear in the presence of God for us. Who's this written to? Are you reading it? It's for you. When it was written in 64 A.D., the people that read it that day, was it for them? You better believe it. It was for them. It was for them. And how did this happen? Well, by the Word of God in Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2, the Word of God says it like this. Buried with him in baptism, 2 and 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein ye also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. You know who raised Jesus from the dead? God did. Was there any sin? There was no sin. How did Aaron do all of this at the will and the command of Moses and the command of God? He did. And God put his approval on it. And friend, when the rods were laid behind the veil, our friend God come by. And friend, he raised Aaron's dead rod from the dead. And not only did he make it bloom, not only did he make it blossom, but I tell you what he brought out of that. Our friend, out of the preaching of the cross, you know what we got today? We got a church. We got almonds. We got a church of born again people of God because of the operation of God, our high priest. Just a little bit more. Just a little more. I think this last part is wonderful. And the Lord said to Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept. You know where Aaron's rod went? They kept their rod. They kept their dead stick. You know where his stick, his live stick?
You know where that stick that had buds and blooms and almonds on it, you know where it went? It went back behind the veil. It went back to the presence of God. Where did the Lord Jesus go? After proving that He's raised from the dead, after proving that God approved of Him, after that, where did He go? He went back to the Father, didn't He? Where is He today? I tell you where He is. He's sitting in the presence of God. He's sitting on the right hand side of God. Our high priest, our heavenly Aaron, our friend is sitting on the right hand of God. Our God told Moses, said, Moses, take Aaron's rod and bring it back in here and put it in here for a testimony. And you know something? Our friend, when I read in Hebrews chapter number 9, you know where it's at? It's in the ark. Our friend, in the ark is a little golden bowl of manna. And in the ark are the tables of stone. And in the ark is Aaron's rod. The provision of God is there. A friend, the priesthood of God is there. The law of God is there. And it's ever been covered up with the mercy seat of the Lord Jesus. Thank God for our high priest. It's all there. Now I want to read just a few verses out of Hebrews. First to Psalms, and then go to Hebrews and just walk through Hebrews with me. Psalm 110, verse 4. Psalm 110, verse number 4. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest, how long? Forever. After the order of Melchizedek. Go with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 3 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Look in 5 and 6. Chapter 5, verse 6. So also Christ glorified not Himself to be made an high priest, but He said unto Him, Thou art My Son, this day have I begotten Thee. Verse number 10. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Verse chapter 6 and verse 20. Whether the forerunner, we have a hope, verse 19, an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth in within the veil, whether the forerunner, who's our forerunner? Now the forerunner of Christ is John the Baptist. The forerunner of the gospel is the law. Our forerunner is the Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest. Of the forerunner, even Jesus made a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Listen, 7:1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being an interpreted king of righteousness. That's who Christ is, isn't He? Isn't our high priest, isn't He the king of righteousness? And after that, the king of Salem. He's the king of Salem and the king of peace, isn't He? Verse number 3, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but is made like unto the Son of God, abiding a priest continually. You know where Aaron's rod's going? I back into the presence of God. You know where Jesus Christ went? As my high priest and your high priest, I forever sit down on the right hand of God. There's more. Read with me. So we've read 7, 1, 2, and 3. Let's read 7, 21 through the end. 7, 21. For those priests were made without an oath, but this priest with an oath by Him that said unto him, Lord, the Lord swear and will not repent. Now, where do we just read that? We read that over in Psalm number 110, verse number 4. God said it. God said, Moses, the man that I choose, I'm going to make his rod bloom.
God says to us here, he said, this is not man's choice, but so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to save them unto the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for him. Thank God, he's our high priest, set down on the right-hand side of God. He's in the presence of God. Is he your high priest? Just to verify it a little more. 9 and 4. Behind the second veil, the tabernacle called the holiest of all, 9:4, which had the golden censer and the altar, the covenant overlaid round about. So there's the ark. Wherein was the golden pot that had manna, God's daily provision, Aaron's rod that budded, the high priest, and the tables of the covenant. There's God's law, unchangeable, no give, no flexibility, and over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat. My God, through the gospel and through the Holy Spirit, our friend, we can come to the mercy seat. God said, I'll meet you here. I'll meet you above the mercy seat. Just a little bit more. Just another verse or two and we'll hush. So there was 9:4. Listen to 10 and 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Now, you know, I could look at that and I could say, okay, he made one sacrifice for sin. There'll be no more. I believe that's true. I do. One sacrifice for sins forever. Sat down on the right hand of God. You know something? In the presence of God. Isn't that where our high priest is? Isn't that where God told Moses to take the rod and put it back in the presence of God? One more verse, or two verses. 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in by the holiest, where can we go? We can go to the presence of God by the blood of Jesus. By a new and a living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, you're the house of God. We got a high priest over the house of God. You. Aaron had a tabernacle to be the high priest over. Jesus Christ is the high priest over you. You are the tabernacle of the Holy Ghost. If you're saved, we've got a high priest over the tabernacle of God. And you are that tabernacle. How wonderful a high priest that we've got. Aaron was a type and a shadow of our heavenly Aaron, the Lord Jesus Christ.